Well, the grace of God to you this morning,
and maybe anything you will remember from what I'm going to say in the 7 or 8 messages might be what you're learning this morning. And I don't know that for sure, and I keep putting that on the board, and I put you some chapters on this morning. I'd like to just review that. Jesus said 7 times he said, I am something in the book of John. And I got reminded by somebody, and that was good. He said, yes, I could tell you some more things that Jesus said he is like. But in the book of John in particular, like I said before, it's not necessarily chronological, but the theme is chronological. And we're going to see that again this morning when we turn to John 10. So if you have your Bible, can you raise your physical copy, whether it's on a cell phone or in a book? I'd encourage us to use the book form. And I don't know how you feel, but I remember as a 16-year-old, I was a young man, newly converted, and had the rough edges that I had of myself, but I was not ashamed of the Word of God in my hand. I would take it to the youth meetings where David Bontrager and those people would be preaching messages, and I would say today that as one of the things that I look back on, I did not err in judgment. There are some places in life where we err in judgment, and it really bothers us. And I was talking to an older man last night, and we were talking about these things, how some things in life we wish we could look back and we could change, but we can't. What we can change is we can repent, and we can come to Christ, and we can come through the open door. And there is only one door that you can be saved, and it's in Jesus Christ. So number one, who remembers in chapter 6, Jesus said, I am. Anybody? The bread of life. Chapter 8. Do you have your Bible? I encourage you to go to John chapter 8. What does it say? Someone help me out. John chapter 8. Jesus said, I am. The light of the world. I'll put light here. This morning in John chapter 10, there's 2 and they're convoluted. They're tied together. But that's not a problem. We're going to use 1 at a time. This morning, I have it up here already for us. Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the door of the sheepfold. By me, only one way. There's only one way to be saved. And we'll look at the context a bit. What else in John chapter 10? He is the good shepherd. How about chapter 11? It's a wonderful thing in chapter 11. I am the resurrection and the life. Chapter 14, verse 6 says what? I am the way, the truth, and what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that this is the bottom line to everything that Jesus was teaching to the people in his day. And the Holy Spirit used the Gospel of John to portray that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I thought of it this way this week. What would it look like if God would send his son to live upon the earth? What if God were a son like you and I are sons and daughters? What if God were a son living where we live? You think you have it pretty rough. You think you have it worse than others. And when we compare ourselves unwisely among ourselves, that is true. But God sent his son, who in the likeness of sinful flesh, he walked in sinful flesh as we are. Did you hear that? Sinful flesh. We talk about sin in the flesh. Are you going to walk after sin in the flesh the rest of your life? Are you going to enjoy living in death? Are you going to enjoy the guilt that hangs upon your life? Are we going to revel in the slime and the sludge of the pig pen? Or are we going to live in life over and over? We could tie these all together. Jesus Christ came so that we could have life. He wants to have us to have abundant life. 14 verse 6, way, the truth, and the life. And 15, it's an easy one. I am the, and your branches, I am the what? I am the vine. Yes, some interpretations call it the true vine. I am the vine. There is only one vine. So that makes it true no matter how you look at it, right, brother? Good. Okay, we're on the same page. Turn to John chapter 10. I invite you to stand. I don't know how you felt last night. I don't know how you felt this morning, but I was feeling drowsy this morning, and I don't have a slide presentation. But the Holy Spirit this morning has given me, what does the psalmist say? My tongue is the pen of rhetoric. Please stand. We're going to do that this morning a bit because we know it's tremendously hot. I don't know if you slept good last night or you're going to sleep good this morning, but by the grace of God, I hope you won't be sleeping so much. We'll just exercise this together. I do it myself, right? I was the one who was drowsy 10 minutes ago, so no worries and no condemnation. John chapter 10 says this. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens. Remember the doorkeeper. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. You have a name this morning, right? The shepherd wants to call you individually by name. He's talking personally here this morning. He's not talking, he's just calling all of Hessen to come together. He's calling you by Paul, by Ron, by Harvey, by Phil, Alvin. Put your name there. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. But they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, and I like that, in that it just says it like it is. This is an illustration, right? Sometimes we take illustrations and we make them mean all kinds of things, but it's an illustration nonetheless. He's drawing a picture from their culture and climate, and sometimes that's what we need to do in our own culture and climate, where we live. But they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." That's it. That's the assurance of salvation. If you enter by the door into the fold, you are saved. Into the sheep pen, you are saved. By me, he said, by Jesus Christ. And will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. Okay, you may sit down for now. Be prepared to stand again. Sweat with me. I have some good news and I have some bad news. The good news is we have a fellowship meal here so we can go as long as we want. The bad news is that I can preach as long as I want, right? That's the bad news. We have a fellowship meal, so you're okay. It'll be fine. And the good news is I put everything on one piece of paper. But let's see what the Lord would like to share with us this morning. And that's who we're going to trust. Let us pray. Our Father, God in heaven, Father, you have some words to say to us this morning, and I pray that by the grace of God and the Spirit of the living God, there would be words of truth that would be anchored, pound so deeply into our soul that we'd never lose these things. If we lose them in thought, we'd never lose them in principle deep down in our soul. May you be glorified, Father. May our Lord Jesus be magnified. We thank you for such a salvation that he has given us. We look to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this morning as I got up, and many mornings as I got up, especially mornings that are regular at our house. This morning wasn't regular. We have company at our house, so it wasn't quite as regular as sometimes. But I find myself going through doors all day long, and starting from the beginning of my day. We have a door into the bathroom off our bedroom or the ensuite. We have a door going into the shower. We have a door then out of the bedroom. We have doors in the living room. We have doors in the kitchen. We have doors on our fridge. Thank you. We have doors to get us outside the house. There are garage doors, right? There are nice doors, And there are other doors. There are many kinds of doors. They are wonderful things in many ways. They make our life convenient. I've been in countries where the doors would be locked very securely, and they'd even take blocks and block up windows because they knew if they didn't block up the windows, people would still come in. Some places had no glass in those windows, and they had no idea what would go on. And if they could afford a door, they did well. There are also places where the best thing they have for a door is a piece of paper. How serviceable is that to us? How about, could you take your door into your life and braid their strength into yours in some way? I know that's a weird thought, but listen carefully with me. Maybe you don't want to sleep, I don't know. But at the end, for some of the last scriptures we're going to look at, there is a braiding in our life that changes our life, because honestly, if you're not saved, you have no strength. You know, have no power and no life to live above sin. That's bottom line. John chapter 10, a little exposition here maybe. John chapter 10, if you notice it, right before John chapter 10 came John chapter 9. So that's quite simple. But I said before that the sequence in the book of John, the theme is going through. And through the book of John, you see from the beginning, it's like the Holy Spirit wants us to see the Son of God. This is God's Son. This is God's Son living upon the earth. This is what God's Son would do in all kinds of circumstances. This is how God's Son feels about blindness. This is how God's Son feels about sin. This is how God's Son feels about injustice. The woman taken in adultery. We see how God the Son, how God himself thinks. And God, Jesus said in other places, he said, I only do the things that I hear my Father tell me to do. He said in one place, my Father works and I work. And that's a picture of a father and a son working together. Take maybe a mechanic. Might have a mechanic here who likes taking apart engines. And he takes my dad did that. And I watched my dad do that, and I thought that's not that difficult actually. I was 11 years old. So I would watch my dad work. I'd watch him take that engine apart out of a car. He had a truck. We had this yellow back on a truck that we hauled pigs in. And you imagine yellow, a light blue front of a 1973, probably one-ton GMC. And then on the back was this yellow box where we carted the pigs around. And that thing could really sway. I don't remember ever driving it. It was a standard of some description. And I can tell you that thing could lurch. It could lurch wildly from side to side upon the road when you had somebody behind the wheel who couldn't almost think or see. But that was, it was, over and over, for whatever reason, the engine would blow in one or two of the trucks Dad had bought. And so I could watch him working. And if I'd have been a little more astute, and some people are this way, they will watch somebody taking something apart, and they will see exactly. Was it Benjamin Franklin who was given a pocket watch, and he promptly, the first thing he did was he took the pocket watch and he tore it apart, and he said he wanted to see what was inside. My Father works. My Father's at work. My Father was at work. And then from that, if I had been astute enough, I could have taken what he did and taken an engine out myself and done it down the road, right? That's how it works. But the Father and the Son are working side by side. Jesus is listening to God. God is the Father and the Son are communicating. And there's lovely harmony, there's communication, there's fellowship, and we see the Son of God in your place and mine walking upon this earth in human flesh. So here we have him, and he's talking to the many people. He's talking to them about believing. From the very beginning, some believed, some did not believe. And he would go to, the picture here is he's talking again to the Pharisees. In chapter 9, the blind man had just gotten healed. A wonderful touch of Jesus Christ. Doesn't that sound like a conversion this morning, where somebody is blind in their sin and they come to Christ and they find freedom, release, and there's joy, and there's great joy among the people, and yet the Pharisees are, they're The religious leaders of that day, they were irrational, they were bitter, they were angry, they were everything under the book. They were rude to this person. They kicked him out of the synagogue. That's how they treated him. And Jesus was now specifically speaking to that crowd. He was saying, there is only one door. Unless you come through the door, everything else is this. It's a thief and a robber. And in those days, a thief would come in, and they still do. They come in slyly. They come in and they take your stuff and they walk away, or they run away, they hide, and they're gone. You never know. You might notice that it's gone until you need it the next time. A robber's something else. He's a bit of a pillager and he doesn't care so much. And he might come in with a gun, and if you're in the way, he might bang, bang. You might be hurt. You could be. A robber does much more destruction. But do you see what Jesus was talking to the religious leaders about? He's saying, that's who you are. You've come into the fold the wrong way. You've come some other way. It certainly wasn't through the door. The door in those days was, they had a pen, a sheep pen or a sheep coat, and it was just simply a pen, and the door was, it was an opening into the sheep. And Jesus said, I am the door. He lay across the door. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the door into that sheep. Nobody, sheep pen, nobody's getting in or they're getting out except through me. And see, there is a getting out too. And we're going to see that next time when the shepherd takes the sheep out into wonderful places. But this time he's talking about being the door. There are some things, three things I have here that Jesus is doing as a door. Yes, if we go through this scripture closer, and we would see that he says there's another fold. And thank God there's another fold. We saw another fold. We saw people of other nationalities, of other ethnos who are, and they're not another race, by the way, just because they have a different color skin than you do. In fact, I think your skin and mine, if that's wrong, it's ours that's wrong, not theirs, probably. I think the Oriental people were brown. I expect Adam and Eve had some brown tones. At least they had the same things within their makeup as we do. It really bothers me when I hear about races of people. There's one race of man. There's other flesh of animals and birds and fishes, but there's only one race of man. We are on equal ground. It doesn't matter. You know, who cares? If you have no peace with Christ, if you died today, my friend died 3 weeks ago on a Saturday morning. He fell over dead. If you fell over dead right now, are you ready? Have you come to the door? Have you come through the door? Are you in the? Are you saved? Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if you enter, you shall be saved. Here we have them. Three things. We have the door. We have the shepherd laying across the door. And I wonder if this is not where this little phrase came from, over his dead body. And I believe that that's the... That is the body, that's the power of the living Christ. The only power that we will ever have in our lives will be the power of Christ through the Spirit of God. It's not going to be some pope or some elder, some man who's going to be able to keep all the wolves from getting at you. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, he is going to, he is able to. I can imagine as the sheep get put in for the night, in their day, a variety of flocks would come together and they'd put them in within the sheep pen and they'd all mingle about and they'd have their skirmishes and whatever would happen with that ever happens with sheep. And that's how it was. And there was who knows how many kinds, different people's sheep there. And the shepherd was across the door. He wanted to keep those sheep in, but he was also there because you had things on the outside that would want to get at the sheep under cover of darkness. And there are some animals and some predators out there. In fact, the wolf, for an example, the wolf has 42 teeth, and he's ravenous, and he's carnivorous. He has big, sharp teeth. You have 32 teeth. He has 42 teeth. He has more teeth, and they are sharp, and they are powerful. Paul said to the Ephesian church that after my parting, ravenous wolves will come in, and they'll come up from among you. Do we take that serious? Wow. Oh, man. Wow. Help us, Father. And Father is about to help us. Father has it all under his control. No worries. We need not fear. With a shepherd is laying across the door because he is the door. You have inside the coat, you have frightened sheep. You have hurt sheep. Can you imagine different things coming to the door of the sheepfold? Some are frightened, some are hurt. One was lost. A lamb with fear, maybe, a wayward sheep, comes to the door. And he lets them in, and they're saved. They're saved from what's outside. Other things are going to come to the door. I mentioned the wolf comes to the door. There are skunks. There are rabies. There are all kinds of things that would come to snatch and to devour, to steal and to kill and to destroy. And you can imagine with me how the Pharisees felt when he was speaking to them. They wanted to kill him. So three things that coming to the door ought to be to us. Number one, we can have assurance of our salvation. Number two, I would like to talk about something for a little bit and one story, and I might ask some people to help me with some scripture verses, so keep your Bible at hand, please. Please have your Bible ready. We want to get out of here quicker than just me. I didn't mark my pages with some of these scriptures, so if you'd help me, that would help me. The fear of God that is lost in our day. See, where there is no fear of God, the enemy will come, and he'll come in, and he'll seek to devour. And thine is the power and the glory. Number three. Three things. Coming to the door, three things ought to happen. We have assurances of our salvation. We have a correct fear of God, for the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And he also says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It doesn't matter what university or what school of thought you will go to. You can travel the world around to prestigious places that in the eyes of the world are the very best. And without the foundation there, the school of thought will go astray all the time. How can they expect? This is what I wonder. How can they expect to get things right when they don't believe that God exists, who is, when he calls himself the Lord in the scriptures, he is an eternal, self-existent God. He is Yahweh. There is none like him, none else, none beside him. He exists on his own life. He wants to give us life so we have eternal life. We are not living under the shroud of death and fear any longer. Assurance. Romans 8:16. Let me take you there. It says this, I wonder how your assurance is. And you know what I did to get some scripture was I pulled out my old Bible that my dad gave me in 1977. That's the one that I had a choice between Dr. Seuss or a Bible. You should laugh, because isn't that something, huh? I was choosing between two books, Dr. Seuss and the Bible. Another choice I never regretted, but that's called grace, isn't it? You could tell me things like that within your life, how you saw at a moment, an importune moment, you had no idea what you were doing, but you chose by grace the right thing, and he led you in the way that he wanted to take you, because that's the Father, because that's the Shepherd, that's the door. He's leading you to the door because he wants you saved. He's not here desiring that we'll see that he wants us to be destroyed. Not at all. Romans 8:16 says this, the Spirit himself, let me read 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Talk about assurance. Do you notice it sometimes in your life? Brothers and sisters, for those who are saved, those who are led, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, you sense the leading. You know the Spirit of him, the Spirit of God. This morning in John, we read a verse in the Bible study about when the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, this is the one it was, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. We're talking some supernatural things that are going to happen in our lives as the children of God. For those who sit here this morning and don't know what it means to go through the door, you don't know what it means where God, the Spirit of the living God, comes and brings truth to you and direction and guidance at a time when you just didn't know what to do. Sometimes you kneel and pray. Other times it's in your spirit. Sometimes you're walking and you know you don't deserve it. At the moment you least deserve it, the Spirit of God comes in and you worship. You talk about an exciting life where the Spirit of God is leading the children of God. And if that's happening in your life, it's been happening in your life, and you see assurance coming to your life. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. He's not here to bring us into chains and bondage and kicking against pricks, as it were. Or you can imagine chains on a prisoner who would be bound to this post in the heat, outside this morning, in the heat, the sun beating down upon your head, no hat, nothing, maybe no shirt. It's better, I'll tell you. You want to talk about something that's interesting. I believe there's scientific evidence. I'm not a scientist, so maybe what do I know about anything? But if you want to stay cooler, wear something over your skin. It works. There's a dog. We have a dog at home that has a lot of fur, and it's a poodle dog. And according to research we've done, this poodle, our poodle, it's partly poodle. Yeah, okay. It's partly poodle, and it's partly something else, and something else, don't ask me what, because I probably don't know. But anyway, it has thick fur. So in April this year, we took the fur off. It took a bad time of year. It was too cold. It got cold. We had a long winter. And the poor thing got sick. I saw it was coughing, and we took the fur off a little bit quick. But in the summer, I'm thinking, you know, that would be the time to take it off. Or would it be? It says, they say, no, keep the fur on because God has known God who knows what he's doing, who the creator of all things, who can sustain himself because he is a God of light and life, who can sustain himself. He put it there to make the animal comfortable. Yes, it's panting, but don't worry about it. It'll get worse if you take the hair off of its back. We did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry. We cry, Abba, Abba. It's like crying, a little child crying to daddy. Could we stand for a second? We cry, Abba. We cry, Daddy. We cry in Africa. That was a blessing. I'm glad that we have some people going to other countries. I'm glad that you've taken yourself out of your comfort zone and hopped on your motorbike or your whatever you did, and you went to different places and you found something. You get outside your comfort zone. Some of us haven't gone as far. That doesn't matter. But sometimes when we're outside of our comfort zone, I remember being up in a barn, and I didn't like heights. And I remember thinking, if when I get down from here, I will be content again for a long time. I won't do that. That was so dumb. I just feel like my life's at risk. But that was the beauty of being in Africa for me. Excuse me, you may sit down again. Was the very thing that daddy was close. That's all I had. I was too far away. I couldn't call you brothers and sisters for help. I had some friends there, but I didn't know them like I know you. I didn't have my family there. I didn't have the comforts and the things that sometimes we find comfort in. Isn't it good to get those things stripped away? Because he wants us to have only one daddy. There is only one daddy. There's only one God. We called him daddy. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if there's nothing else, that clinches it all, right? That the Spirit of God speaking to our heart that we are the children of God. So, as a newborn Christian, I was like probably most of you. I would feel great for a day, and I'd feel horrible for a few days, and I'd go into the scriptures, and I went to some of these scriptures. I'll share some of them with me. John, let's start in John chapter 3. And then John 5:24. Can somebody raise their hand who will read that for me? Just read it loudly from your place. Okay, Matt's got that one. John 6:37. Abe Harder got that one. John 7:17. Derek's got that. John 11:25. Okay, Titus. Okay, assurance of salvation. John 3:16. I got the easy one. Actually, I know a few of the others by heart too. Don't worry. And that's the blessing of the need that we have. God brings us back in his word again and again, until that word gets worked into our soul and we can't part from it. John 3:16 simply says, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that included me, that included every single newborn Christian. It didn't matter how immature and how stupid you did things. There are some things as newborn Christians we did that were just awful. We were ashamed. Later we think, how foolish was our zeal. We had lots of zeal, but not so much knowledge. He sent his son not into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. 17, for God did not send his son, I said that one. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. I believed. I remember to say to myself, I believed. That verse is talking to me. He who believes in him is not condemned. Why are you thinking you're condemned? You say you feel condemned. Well, that's a feeling. We're going to see. It was actually in 2 Kings 6 this morning, or 5. Was it 2 Kings 5? There was a servant. And our feelings need to be servants, a servant of the prophet. You have servants in your life. Your emotions and your feelings need to serve you. You don't obey them. They don't tell you what to do. The Word of God is your final authority. And the Spirit of God, He speaks to your heart and He brings word. His Word. How else is He speaking to us? This door, it's very clearly marked. The door is not, it's not some guesses. He says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not is condemned already. This is the condemnation, that light came into the world, and when men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. But he who does the truth comes to the light, and his deeds may be clearly seen that they are done in or wrought in God. Okay, John 5:24. Go ahead. Wow, I believe that. I would believe that again and again. I would believe it. And he says, verily, verily, usually when this morning at the breakfast table somebody said, I'll tell you the honest truth, and I said, oh, sometimes you don't tell the truth. Sometimes when we hear verily, verily, we say, no, Jesus isn't like that. He is saying, I want to tell you some truth that's of utmost and very significant, and it's assured. We're not guessing. I'm not playing games with you. I'm not telling you something that I can't do for you. I am the door, he said. I am giving you this assurance. 6:37. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. How would you like that one? I thought of somebody in my own family who was unsaved. I remember as a child. And I thought lots of things. But I remember thinking, him that comes, I will in no way cast away. That means you and me. We can come to the door again and again. The scared, the frightened little lamb comes back to the door. Are we worried that the shepherd's going to reach out and take his club that he has with him and he's going to beat him up to pulp? Of course not. There's no shepherd in their sane mind. There's no loving Father in heaven in our sanity that would do such a thing. You would never think you're doing that unless you've lost your mind. And he hasn't. He's trying to give us our mind. John 7:17 says what? And you got to wonder sometimes how often you need that one. I memorized that one for sure. I would encourage you to memorize that one. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine. There are various and all kinds of doctrines and teachings out there today. And how are we going to find out? How do we know? We need to get through the door. We need to be saved through the door. We can't make up our own ideas. The Word of God is sure, settled forever in heaven, he says. It is not departing. And the Word of God is as sure as Jesus Christ himself, who by his own expression, he spoke the Word and out came the myriads of everything that we see. The power of the living Word of God. The assurance that he gives us. We're coming to the door and we find assurance. The lambs, the sheep, any kind, sick, wounded, frightened, they come back to the door to find comfort, whether they're going in or whether they're going out. Number two. Okay, I need some help here again. Romans 3:18, just say yes. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Did somebody say yes? Ephesians 5:21. Hebrews 11:7. Yes. Hebrews 12:28. Revelation 19:5. Okay, number two, you come to the door. Some things are coming to the door, and they're going to find the fear of God. Last night, we went on a walk, and our dog, our little black dog, went with us and came up across upon something upon the path, and all of a sudden, I just saw the little black dog jumping. It's like, oh, wow, that's good. What's there? And the ladies were ahead of us, and they said, oh, yeah, that's a turtle. Let's come see it. And there's a little green turtle about this big, and it scared the dog, and the thing was hissing. Tell me what kind it was. Anybody? It was green shell. It wasn't a paint, and it wasn't the snapper. I don't know. But then we go walking down the path further, about, 100 steps or so, and she sees this feather about this long beside her, put her nose to it, and jump back again. She's like, she's not sure if she's going to be, it's okay there. I said, oh, that dog got a bit of the fear of God within it. Didn't, right? But sometimes this world, one of the things that's missing, lacking within the world today, is there is no fear of God before their eyes. Romans, are we going to read that one? Romans 3, no, I don't have it there. But there is no fear of God because people do not fear God. The Pharisees who said all kinds of glorious things did not fear God. And it's diminishing in our day. And it's affecting us. It's affecting our spirits, our soul. It's affecting us because we live in the flesh. If we could eradicate sin, the sin in the flesh, we wouldn't be living in these bodies, that's for sure. But that's not going to happen until a glorious resurrection and a reason to look forward to. For some, it will be fearful. Okay, hold your spots. I'm going to 1 Kings 18 to read you a little story. Love these old stories in the Old Testament. It's about in the time of Elijah and Ahab. Ahab had lack of rain, and he was blaming Elijah. He wanted to catch Elijah. He was trying to send people throughout the country to find Elijah. Where was Elijah? God had hid him by the book Cherith, we know. And many, many things were happening within that day. It's because God's wrath had come down upon the king and the country over idols, over Baal worship. There are Baals in our day today. There are idols that are set up upon our heart. Some people can look upon a car and they could drive a Lamborghini down the road and it would never take a hold of their heart. It would never be anything to them, because if you go to a place like in the Mid East, there's one of the wealthiest countries in the world. Most of the cars are very high end, and you had a car, you had to use a car. But for other people, that same car would be. Their eyes would pop and their souls would be given over to that thing. And you live in a community. Some people live in communities where you have to drive a Beamer to your car sitting on the paving stone. It can't even be asphalt anymore. It has to be some kind of paving stone. It has to be sitting out there. It has to be a Beamer, maybe an SUV Beamer or some fancy whatever car, maybe a Porsche, maybe even a Rolls Royce. Idols in our land. I'm using that one because I don't think many of us are affected by that. Maybe somebody here loves cars, and your heart is going after the Baals that are going to destroy you. Don't let it. Then there was a man. So they went looking. I didn't. Oh, yes, I did. Verse 18, chapter 18, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah the third time, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I'll send rain on the earth. So nobody knows what's happening. The king doesn't know this happening, but Elijah knows this is happening because God's been speaking to him. So Elijah went and presented himself to the king in Samaria. And Ahab, at the same time, how does that work? But the Spirit of God knows how to give you assurance of salvation, knows how to bring the things to pass within our lives that we need to connect all the dots and the puzzle pieces go together. Ahab, the king, goes to the man named Obadiah, who was in charge of the house. Now, it says, in brackets, it says something significant. It says, but Obadiah, now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. And so it was. While Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah had taken hundreds of prophets and hidden them, 50 to a cave, and had fed them with water, bread and water. And so this is the man, this is the character of the man that Ahab, wicked Ahab, comes to Obadiah to go looking for Elijah. So they divided the land. They went exploring. Obadiah went another way by himself. Now as Obadiah was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him. How does that work? How does the Spirit of God know how to bring everything together? How powerful is your God? How powerful is the God upon our lives who will give us assurance that we're saved? If you'll go in, you'll find rest. You will find life. You will not have death. See, sin and death, they're the sting of the curse, and the sting is death and sin. Ahab said to Obadiah, go into the land. So they divided. And there they meet. And Obadiah says, and he answered, Elijah says to Obadiah, it is I. Go tell your master, Elijah is here. So he said, and this is Obadiah. Think of, put yourself in Obadiah's shoes. If you get back to the king, you take the news back to, you're looking for Elijah, so that should seem not too bad to just take Elijah back to the king and everything should be fine. But this man was thinking. He said, I know how God works. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. He knew the fear of God, and therefore he knew how God worked. I'm talking to you. I'm preaching to you and me. We need the fear of God in our life so that we will make the decisions today that will affect our tomorrows. We're talking about the fear of God that will change everything in our life, that will lead us to Christ, that will lead us to assurance of salvation and to life itself, eternal life. We talk about eternal life, we think it's going to be when we get to heaven. Fine and thank you, but I need it today. I need it today. I get depressed too often by myself. I need life today. I am the door, Jesus said. So this man knows what's going on. As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where your master has not sent someone to hunt for you. And when they said, he is not here, he took an oath for the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. And now you say, go tell your master, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from you, that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you to a place I do not know. So when I go and tell Ahab, and he cannot find you, he will kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Thank God that you youth are youth this morning. Some of us aren't youth, but thank God there is hope. Thank God there is a way, there is restoration. He brings healing and restoration, even some of the dumbest things I've ever done. Some of the things that have crushed my soul. Some of the things that have worked upon me and still do. I know that God is greater, and that's my hope and my assurance. I have assurance of salvation. But thank God for in our youth. In your youth, you get to make decisions that are beyond what you would understand. But if you will take the Word of God, I remember reading chapters and chapters in the Word of God as a youth. I remember my brother reminded me yesterday, he said, do you remember that we read the book of Job together? We would get up, I don't know when, I don't remember, I didn't remember it, but I know he was more disciplined than I. But we did those things because, and those are the things that are helping me today. Charm is deceitful. Young ladies, charm. You know how to put charm on. You don't even have, nobody had to teach you how to put charm on. It, young ladies, you've just put it on. You see a dashing man, you don't even know this is the will of, that you're going to marry this person, but you just put it on. You put your charm on. That's how it is. That's how God created male and female. He created them to be attracted and drawn to each other. He did not create men and women to live in homosexual and lesbian lifestyles. But charm is deceitful, and beauty vanishes. It's vain. It lasts for 75 years, maybe 100 years. My wife is just, she's gorgeous, and she's not, well, she's not 50. She's 40. I don't know. What are you? I'm 50. But beauty vanishes. Beauty vanishes. You're putting on, I watch you put on and put off and put clothing on. And is my hair okay? Does this suit match? But that's vanity. Fear God rather. Young men, fear God. The choices you will make today. Some things aren't easy. I'm not promising an easy lifestyle. Lifestyles that in the faith are not necessarily easy, because we know what happened in countless countries. There are countries today where people who said, and someday they will come in and take us out for what we said this morning about homosexuality. But some things are said, and you can edit that out, by the way, on the website. But there are things done today beyond recognition. They walk out the door to machetes, to the real deal. They don't know. They come out of the water in baptism and are slaughtered and slain. Fear God. Romans 3:18, here it is. who is Romans 3:18. Okay, that's the culture we live in. That's the culture of the human heart. That's without Christ. Number two, 2 Corinthians 7:1. We'll go through them quickly. Cleansing yourself and your flesh, and I could hardly hear you, but in spirit, but in the fear of God. The fear of God is in your youth. If you will bear in your youth the fear of God in our any stage in our life, if we will take on the fear of God, it'll work a good work there. Ephesians 5:21. Thank you. Hebrews 11:7. I'm sorry, I'm taking longer than I should. Please, let's stand again, shall we? Hebrews 12:28. Okay, Revelation 19:5. Speak up, please. Somebody have Revelation 19:5? Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great." That's included. The fear of God is included. Okay, you may sit down again. Number three, the power. Thine is the power and the glory. The door is sound, sleepless, and security. You remember that at the door, Jesus lays across the door. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He is never, he's, that this door can never be, it's sound. It can't be broken through. It's got power. It's got glory. It's the security of the believer. And I'm going to go to Isaiah 40 for 2 seconds. I know, I'm sorry I'm so late, but I have to. Isaiah 40, near the end of the chapter, talks like this. Oh, I didn't circle it. I'm going to read a few verses. Think about this personally. Why do you say, "Oh, Alvin"? Why do you say, "Oh, Jacob"? Why do you say, "Oh, Israel"? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, I am the door. The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait, this is what I want, but to those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Suffice it to say this. This is what I want to say. The word there, if you look it up in the Strong's, the word, those who wait on the Lord. There is a, shall renew their strength. There is, the word there is to bind together. It's like taking. We used to have, my grandfather had this little machine where you'd take twine from a variety of bales, and you'd put it together, and you could do it with baler twine off your hay bales as well. I used to do it, and you'd need, I think you need at least three, but six work better, and you'd braid them back and forth. This is called the braiding of the Lord. This is where God himself, we are, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. This is how your strength is renewed, when it is God. When it is God our Father, when it is the Lord Jesus Christ, and himself, the Holy Spirit, when he comes in and he braids those, all these things together, and he makes a powerful force. You can take a small little twine, and you can pull it apart. But you start putting multiples together, you start weaving them together, and this is the strength of the Lord in your life. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I am the door. By me you shall be saved. In conclusion, there's a song. Psalm 84 says this. We're talking about a life that's filled with assurance. Yes, even the fear of God, not only recommend it, it's a must. Revelation 19:5. And the power, the renewed strength that he will put into our life. 84, verse 12. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. A day in your courts is better than a thousand. A day in your courts is better than a thousand. A thousand. How about a thousand days of doing what you want? A thousand days of vacation. How would you like that? A thousand days of your vacation. But he says, the songwriter said, I love the Lord this much. A day in your courts is better than a thousand days of the best vacation at the best, remotest island with all the amenities in the world. I would rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather have a relationship with I am the door. I am Jehovah God, the door. I am saved this morning through the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus, through his Son. I'm saved. I'd rather have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He needs to be both. This morning we want the sun. Without the sun, photosynthesis doesn't happen, and the plants would not be the factories they are. They'd create life. That I don't understand. That never made any sense to me, how you could have a plant, a huge plant, pulling stuff out of the ground that you can't see. Why doesn't the plant go down? Take a tree. Why doesn't the tree actually just start sinking because it's taking nutrients from the soil? But it doesn't happen that way, does it? But there's actually a factory, a microscopic factory at work, creating what it needs to make this large tree grow. He is also a shield from the sun. We put our sunglasses on, right? We need the sun, but too much sun is not so good. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Blessed is the man who trusts in you. Jesus said, I am the door. If you enter by me, you shall be saved.